What if I started this episode of Cut the Clutter by saying that this entire episode is based on the press conference by a major general, by a mere major general? That is, that doesn't mean any disrespect to the rank. It's a very high rank. But just to put this in perspective, Indian Army at this point should have any number between 275, 275 to 300 major generals, right? And as does any other major army. Pakistan Army, maybe 100, 150 major generals, because Pakistani Army is much more than half of Indian Army, right? Why should we dedicate an entire episode of Cut the Clutter to a mere major general's press conference? That use of the word mere is in this context. Now, first of all, this isn't just any other major general. It is the major general who's in charge of Pakistan's inter-service public relations. Now, you might again ask me that, look, this is a major general, a mere two-star, and that too heading the PR wing of a set of armed forces. So what is such a big deal? Once again, because it is Pakistan. It's ISPR. This major general is speaking not just for the Pakistani Army as an institution, but Army, Navy, Air Force, and not just the three of them. Given the complex history of Pakistan, when the Pakistani armed forces speak up, the world listens, particularly that part of the world which has stakes in Pakistan, they listen. And that's why we also listen in India. This is not a brief press conference. It's an hour and 7 minutes. And I will share a link to the whole press conference with you. It's a PTV link. So please listen to this. One gain I have from exposures like this is it sort of teaches me new words in Urdu and also helps me brush up my old Urdu, because there was a time when All India Radio used to have its Urdu service, which was very popular, and we used to listen Hindi film music on that late at night. Now that is not there. Maybe other things happen that we are not paying attention to. But now, listening to this, I also learned a new expression in Urdu, which is Kirdar Kushi, which if I translate it right, means character assassination. Which in this case, he is saying that those attacking the army, particularly on social media, in the names of armed forces, veterans in Pakistan, most of them are now interceding on behalf of Imran Khan. That amounts to Kirdar Kushi, which I presume is character assassination. But let me come back to focus right now. So what is he talking about in this hour and 10 minutes? If I were to write a headline for this, and a clickbait headline, if you wrote a story like that, I'm quite sure it will go viral. But we are not doing anything like that. But between you and me, there is a lot of informality. So I will tell you what I thought about. When I was listening to him, I thought the headline of this whole saga should be, aapko yaad hai wo Dostana film ka gana tha with Abhishek Bachchan and John Abraham and Priyanka Chopra, Maa Ka Laadla Bigad Gaya. So for the Pakistani army, Imran Khan is a case of Maa Ka Laadla Bigad Gaya, because they are the ones who had brought him into power. He was selected prime minister. He had not won his election fairly. And even after all the fixing and even after all the fixing of leaking of the paper, fixing of the examiner, then help during the exams by letting the student copy. And with all that, when the student fell short of passed marks, the student was given grace marks by way of organizing defections from elsewhere and by way of then, quote unquote, persuading other chota moda parties from joining his coalition. So Imran Khan was still short of majority. He was installed in power by the army, by the armed forces. That is an incontrovertible fact. And before that, the same armed forces had got involved, or why involved? They had run this really vicious intrigue to get Nawaz Sharif out, have him disqualified, jailed, then exiled later, subsequently, have him replaced by somebody from his own party, and then cause an election whereby Imran Khan came to power. Now it so happens that Imran Khan began to take his job too seriously. And he began to think that, look, I won power because I am so immensely popular, right? I won the World Cup in 1992, right? I have to be super popular. And he then began to run ahead of the pack, which means he began to then think that he can now change Pakistan's policy. He can take Pakistan towards a direction of Islamization, which the armed forces also would not have liked to. Also, make Pakistan completely hostile to the US, not at all normalize relations with India. Normalizing relations with India doesn't mean that everything should become hunky-dory. Normalizing means the usual regular tension remains. Some more trouble happens on LOC, but at least the two countries have ambassadors or high commissioners in each other's capitals. We are not calling each other's chief executives Nazis, Hitlers and all that, because, you know, in diplomacy, important thing is you never abuse your adversaries or your rivals' chief executive, because once you do that personally, it becomes impossible then to have any negotiations. So Imran Khan had been doing all that, and that is what was getting the armed forces impatient, and then we know whatever happened. Now, after all that, this press conference by the armed forces spokesman, that is ISPR chief Major General Babar Iftikhar. He is the new guy, you know, we are familiar with many others, including the famous General Ghafoor. He's a new guy, and he came out to talk, and he said, I will give you a short preamble and then answer all questions. And he said repeatedly, I will take any questions that you might have, right? And very interesting questions came up, very important questions came up. So when he was speaking, it was like the Pakistani establishment speaking. And when he was sometimes asked by correspondents, by Pakistani journalists, that was establishment on the same page, was the establishment consulted, he, without batting an eyelid, said, no, the establishment had nothing to do with it, or yes, the establishment knew this, or we were not consulted, or we were consulted, we were on the same page, etc., etc. So when he speaks, the Pakistani establishment speaks. So, to conclude my initial point, we are listening for an hour and 7 minutes to the most powerful major general in the whole world. It's the army of 7 lakhs throwing the Navy and the Air Force, and more nukes, more deliverable nukes than India has. So that's why, see this in perspective. So which are the questions he's answering? Interestingly, one of the questions he was asked was that Imran Khan made a charge of conspiracy, that there was a foreign conspiracy to pull down this government. And this was discussed at the National Security Council meeting, where the chief, the DG, ISI, the head of intelligence, etc., are all present. So what happened? So he said that, look, there was a statement issued after that meeting. You read that statement. Was the word conspiracy used anywhere in that statement? So he said quite clearly that there was no foreign conspiracy to pull down the Imran government. So he says, and if the government wants, then whatever happened, it's classified right now. I can't talk about it. But if the government so wishes, government can declassify it. Then he was asked that stories had come out when Imran Khan was going through his last few days of crisis, that the establishment had given him three options. One option was to resign now. Second was to face his vote of confidence. And third was to dissolve the National Assembly and hold fresh elections. So he said, no, we did not give those options to Imran Khan. Imran Khan asked the army chief to meet him. So army chief and DGISI met him. And then Imran Khan asked them to sort of mediate or intercede and bring about some kind of a resolution to the situation. And he said that the Imran Khan wanted the army chief and DGISI to speak to the opposition and tell them that, look, the preferable option is to dissolve the parliament and hold fresh elections. And he says, we conveyed this to the opposition, but the opposition said no, they didn't want to accept that. So that is our job. We don't determine anything. We are out of it. We don't give instructions to anybody. We just follow the instructions of the government of the day. Interestingly, I forgot count at some point. I was a bit lazy about playing it 1 hour, 7 minute tape again. But I think I counted about six or seven times at least, General Babar Iftikhar saying that armed forces in Pakistan, which is a democracy, are subservient to the elected government. Subservient. Frankly, I don't remember having heard that from any establishment, military establishment in Pakistan, that they are subservient to the elected government. He said, we are subservient, we follow their instructions. There is a government in Pakistan. Pakistan is a democracy, elected government. Everybody follows the government. And then there are many institutions. Institutions, these are his words, not mine. Institutions make a democracy strong. Armed forces are one of those institutions, right? So he said, we don't give instructions and we did not give these options to Imran Khan government. Then the next question that Imran Khan raised, because that is something that he is now saying at his rallies. He's getting a lot of support on the ground in Karachi, in Peshawar. Pakistan also still has a tradition of sort of mass politics. A lot of people coming out for these so-called jalsas, as they are called in Pakistan. In India, we find increasingly attendance at political rallies is now coming down. It's not in lakhs in any case. But in Pakistan, it's still cathartic with Pakistan's democracy to have something happening outdoors where anybody can say anything. So there he's been saying again and again that Pakistan's nuclear assets have now been handed over to thieves. Thieves meaning Shahbaz Sharif and the rest, basically his political rivals. So once again the army says through General Babar Iftikhar, through Major General Babar Iftikhar, that this is it's a cheap thing to make these allegations. Our nuclear assets are not with any individuals. And then he goes on, he spends some time praising Pakistan's successive political leaders. And he said successive political governments which have been elected in Pakistan have protected Pakistan's nuclear program, kept its secrecy. Without all of that, Pakistan would not have reached where it has now with its nuclear arsenal. And then he says that our command, control and security for our nuclear weapons is appreciated the world over. It's acknowledged to be very, very good. And there is no question of this falling into wrong hands or anything being described as falling into wrong hands. And then this straightening of the record with Imran Khan continues, because again somebody asks him that, look, are you neutral or are you not neutral? Because Imran Khan said that you've decided to be neutral. So he said, I don't like the word neutral. Very interestingly said and very intelligently said, I would say that the armed forces in Pakistan are apolitical. So not neutral, but apolitical. You can draw what meaning you want from it. But remember, it's not a major general speaking. It is the Pakistani armed forces speaking today. And he then said that, look, we have a constitutional role and a legal role. Beyond that, we have no role. What he's trying to say is that we do not have any extra constitutional role. Now you might say, Nausa chuhe khake billi haj ko chali, because until 2018, they did play a very strong extra-constitutional role. And frankly, even now, this change would not have happened if word had not spread that the army or the establishment was by now done with Imran Khan. He was spoiled goods. But for him to say this, come out and say this, is still interesting. In fact, he then said, koi kisi ko milne nahi gaya, hamara ye politics jo hai, usse koi lene dena nahi hai, because there was a lot of speculation. Particularly, there was a BBC story which he attacked that said that at the last moment, Imran Khan offered General Bajwa an extension if he would let Imran Khan have his way, or then he would sack General Bajwa and appoint someone else in his place. And that negotiation took place in the end. So he said no, his exact words, koi kisi ko milne nahi gaya, hamara isse koi lena dena nahi hai. This was not in anybody's wildest dreams, he said. And then he says something again very interesting. He says, all this while, all these years, what is the big argument in Pakistan? And what is the big complaint that people have had with the armed forces in Pakistan? The only complaint they've had is that we should not interfere with politics. He said, we have now put it into effect. People have been demanding this. We have put this into effect. His exact words, we have turned the corner and it's our intention to carry on in that direction. Now, I know that there'll be a lot of skepticism. I'm also not endorsing it, but it's an interesting line coming out of the Pakistani establishment. Of course, tomorrow another chief can come or some other changes can take place and all of this would look like just platitudes, right? But let's play the ball that is delivered to us for now. So this is the ball that is delivered to us. Then the question of Imran Khan going to Russia. because Imran Khan had said that I had consulted the armed forces, they were on board. So he said, yes, the armed forces were on board, and it was our view that he should go to Russia. And then he says something very interesting. He said when he went to Russia, nobody knew that while he's in Russia, Putin would start, he didn't say Putin, Russia would start the attack on Ukraine. And he said when that happened, of course, his words, of course, it was very quote unquote embarrassing. So he has now said for the first time someone in authority in Pakistan, and this is the authority of Pakistani armed forces, saying that what happened to Imran Khan was an embarrassment for him and for Pakistan. Then again, Imran Khan's allegations that Americans had wanted bases in Pakistan, and he insinuated that the armed forces may have been inclined to agree, but he's the one who put his foot down. He says there's no question of it. Nobody asked for bases. Nobody ever sought any bases. And even if somebody had sought any bases, Imran Khan said that if anybody had sought, I would have said no. He said, so would we. So it's not as if we were on a different page from him. And nobody sought any air bases. And then he said sort of suo motu. He said, let me get one thing clear. People saying that army chief was doing it for extension, etc., etc. Now, that's again something that I haven't heard in Pakistani military discourse or Pakistani military establishment political discourse, at least in my memory. He said the chief of army staff does not want an extension, will not accept an extension, will not take an extension, no matter what. And he says that, look, I guarantee to you that he will retire on the due date, which is 29th November 2022. The question is, who would be the next chief? So towards the conclusion of this episode, we'll talk a little bit about that. And this is where he used that expression, kirdar kushi, that this is the character assassination of my chief by saying that he is doing all this for an extension. And then he goes on to say, and you know, it's very interesting. I told you that six or seven times he said the Pakistani armed forces are subservient to the government of the day. And then he also goes on to say when somebody again asks him, because you know, Pakistani press also, a lot of them are used to the armed forces playing a very key role in foreign policy, security policy, and the truth is they'll continue to play that role. Somebody asked him that what about foreign policy, security policy, Pakistan's armed forces have a stake there, how do you handle it? And he said, look, whatever inputs we have our understanding, we have our stakes, we convey to the government and we give our advice to the government. Now, elected government of the day is not bound by our advice. They can make their own decision, and whatever the decision, we follow. So once again, whether he means it, he doesn't mean it, whether he can live up to his word, that we'll see as time comes. But that this is being said today, just days after the big change in Pakistan, is very significant. And he says that, look, to think that we influence the courts is nonsense. We never influence the courts. Courts in Pakistan are free. Institutions are free, and institutions are the strength of a democracy. Now, these are things that you don't expect to hear from the Pakistani military establishment. And interestingly then, somebody says that, you know, there were rumors that courts were told that either you settle it tonight or there'll be martial law. He said there was no question of martial law. Nobody thought of martial law. And then he says quite assertively that martial law will never be declared in Pakistan again. Now, that's quite a statement to make looking at the future. He said martial law will never be declared in Pakistan again. Of course, he adds an inshallah to this. So everything is up to God. But he says that. And then he says again something very interesting. He says Pakistani army is successful because people of Pakistan are with Pakistan's army. Pakistani army can't be at odds with the people of Pakistan, because you've seen countries where the people and the army are at odds with each other. And we all know what happened to those countries. Now, I don't know what he's referring to. It's possible if I'm thinking, but my imagination may be too colorful, but maybe it's a reference to this old Soviet Union, which then broke up. I don't know, but I'm only guessing. And then, of course, when he's asked about Pakistani army dissensions or differences between the top brass, he says, look, this is not an individual's army. The chief is there. Whoever the chief, wherever the chief turns, 7 lakh soldiers turn. Which is what brings us to what is happening in the Pakistani army in terms of the power structure. Now, when you follow Pakistan, politics is one thing. Politics again, politics of provinces is one thing. Islamist groups have lately become powerful and very significant, like TLP, Tehreek-e-Labbaik, Pakistan. That is another story. Then there are ethnicities and linguistic groups. That's another variable. But the armed forces. So there is a power game that goes on in the armed forces as well. Now, we spoke about this in an earlier Cut the Clutter, that Imran Khan would probably have preferred if General Faiz Hamid, who was his favorite ISI chief and who had played a key role as the deputy in ISI in ensuring Imran Khan coming to power. And he's the one who was a kind of mentor and father figure or uncle or whatever you call him, of the Taliban. And he's the one who was going around painting in the radar screen in Kabul with that cup of tea without saucer, right, in civilian clothing and sort of preening like he had conquered Afghanistan and defeated the Americans. The chief, General Bajwa, wanted to move him as core commander, Peshawar, and appoint his own man as ISI chief, which he did, because it looks like Imran Khan resisted that change. So the chief made that announcement by himself. So Imran Khan then held back. He delayed notifying that announcement of Lieutenant General Nadeem Anjum's appointment as chief of ISI and Lieutenant General Faiz Hamid's appointment as core commander, Peshawar, right? But ultimately the army had its way. And this appointment was notified. So Nadeem Anjum became ISI chief and Faiz Hamid went to Peshawar. Now, Faiz Hamid went to Peshawar, sidelined a little bit. What was Nawaz Sharif's concern? Nawaz Sharif's concern was that when he comes up for elections, if election took place at the regular time, when he comes up for elections, who is the army chief, who is the ISI chief, because he will need that help. So he wanted to mess with the line of succession in the armed forces. So he would have liked to put Faiz Hamid in a key position. Now, Faiz Hamid is in Peshawar. He continued to be Pakistan's chief interlocutor with not just the Afghan government, but also Tehreek-e-Taliban Pakistan. Tehreek-e-Taliban Pakistan is a terrorist group which keeps attacking Pakistani interests, Pakistani armed forces. It's quite nasty, but Imran Khan's government had been negotiating with them. In December last year, they had come close to a settlement and there was a ceasefire for about a month that didn't last. And lately, the trouble has resumed over the past several months. In fact, over the past several months, this year, they have already been 52 incidents. In the same period last year, they were 35. There were 155 people killed. Last year, there were 68. So this activity has gone up. Because on the Pakistani side, it is believed that the Taliban government is not keeping its promise of restraining Tehreek-e-Taliban Pakistan. But who is the interlocutor with TTP and Taliban government? It's Faiz Hamid. So the first action that's happened after the new government's come in Pakistan is these air attacks and rocket attacks that Pakistan armed forces have now carried out inside Afghan territory in both Khost and Kunar provinces along the North Waziristan border, that area. That is a troubled zone. It so happened that one evening, 7 Pakistani soldiers were killed in an ambush in that area, apparently by Tehreek-e-Taliban Pakistan. Next year, these raids were carried out. And usually, when these raids are carried out, there is collateral damage. So Pakistanis who've been complaining all this while about American drone attacks causing collateral damage in their country, these attacks have left 7 civilians dead, 5 children and 2 women. That is something that the government of Afghanistan has said. Now, government of Afghanistan, which means India doesn't recognize the government, such as the government is, which is the Taliban rulers of Afghanistan have condemned this. Zabihullah Mujahid, who we are familiar with, the Taliban spokesman, he has condemned this in the strongest possible terms. He's also said this is a cruelty and it is paving the way for enmity between Afghanistan and Pakistan. We want Pakistan to respect Afghanistan's sovereignty. And then he goes on to say the Pakistani side should know that if a war starts, it will not be in the interest of any side. Now, that is not something that Pakistanis expect to hear from the Afghan Taliban, because they thought Afghan Taliban are their own people. But underlying this, as I see it, I also see a little bit of internal power play of the Pakistani army. Because if Faiz Hamid, if Lieutenant General Faiz Hamid, Peshawar Corps commander, is the main interlocutor with TTP and Afghan Taliban, his corps actually runs this entire border zone with Afghanistan, right? Most of it, for Quetta, there is another corps commander, that is, that's in Baluchistan. Bulk of this Khyber Pakhtunkhwa area, he commands. If from this, these attacks are carried out on TTP, TTP he's negotiating with, it looks like it's also a repudiation of him and his role. Now I'm making a little bit of speculation. It does look like that power play is on in the Pakistani top command also, and the powers that be now, that means the 3 out of the 4 top generals, including the chief, they have now decided that this fellow is not going to go any further because he's seen as somebody who had been politically aligned.